One day, while he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting near, for they had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him to heal. Just then, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a bed. They were trying to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed through the tiles in the middle of the crowd in front of Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." Then the scribes and the Pharisees began to question, "Who is this who is speaking blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God and God alone?" When Jesus perceived their questionings, he answered them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Stand up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the one who is paralyzed, "I say to you, stand up, take up your bed, and go home." Immediately he stood up before them, took up the bed he was lying in, and went to his home, glorifying God. Amazement seized all of them, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, "We have seen strange things today." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our topic this morning, healing body and soul. Let us pray. Now, gracious God, let the words of my mouth, the meditation, thoughts, desires of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, dear God, are our rock and our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. If it's comfortable for you this morning, would you repeat these words after me? Why? Why God? Why me? I think we have all been in this place of anxiety. It is a place of stress. It is not a good place to be. A person can grow bitter and frustrated with life. A person can become angry with themselves, angry with others, even those who are closest and most dearest to them. A person can become angry with God. It is at this moment that one stands at the crossroads of life. And you wonder then, you're seeking and searching, trying to discern at the crossroads which path you will take. There is one path where all hope is lost. I read a devotion not long ago that still stays with me. It says that some people are found in the corner dead, not because they were hungry or thirsty, not because they didn't have a job or they didn't have clothes to wear. They were found in that corner because all hope was lost. I believe that there is a need in our day and time, a need right now, to talk about healing. Jesus had many titles throughout his ministry. One that we have seen in many ways was the great teacher. But also now we can add that title, the Great Physician. You might want to mark St. Luke 5 in your Bibles because it is a turning point in many ways. It is in St. Luke 5 that the religious authorities of this day, the scribes and the Pharisees, are introduced. Introduced for the first time. And then within this story, there is the introduction of faith and the forgiveness of sins. Faith and the forgiveness of sins. The example of faith is that the men would not allow the crowd to keep them from bringing their friend to Jesus. Their faith was persistent. And there is something persistent about faith, even when you are waiting. Persistence that expresses confidence, that even when we are not sure, confidence even when we are not sure just how things will work out. Anthony DeMello phrased it this way: for peace of heart, resign from being the general manager of the universe. This faith is persistent. So much so that you will take the roof off of the house and lower your friend into the presence of Jesus. Jesus was the great physician. He was a healer. And in so many ways, in every healing situation, it was unique. There was the healing of the leper, one who was very much on the outside of society, on the outside of human relationships. But Jesus would touch the leper, and he was healed. There was the healing of the woman who had been bleeding, and we don't know how long she had been bleeding. She hears about Jesus. She does not come to him directly, not knowing how he might respond with all of the customs and patterns of that day, a prophet, a rabbi, touching a woman who was bleeding. She didn't know about how all that would work. But she makes her way through the crowd, just believing that even if Jesus is not directly involved, if she just touches him, she will be healed. Jesus healed others in a very unique way. But now this man is lured into his presence, and Jesus declares, "Your sins are forgiven." It is an important moment. It is a unique moment. Because you see, there were others who were healers in this time. But now Jesus says, not only the healing of the body, but Jesus is able to say, your sins are forgiven. Why such a crucial moment? It is because throughout the history of the people, they had been waiting. They had been waiting for the one to come who could say, your sins are forgiven. And now, this young man from Nazareth, this carpenter's son, comes to say, your sins are forgiven. Those quickly considered it blaspheming. And the price for blaspheming was you would be put to death. There is the paralyzed man lying before him. But here is a whole nother dynamic that is introduced. In our terms, we talk about it as state of mind. We talk about it as the man's paralysis as a result of something in his life that needed to be forgiven. And so Jesus announces, "Your sins are forgiven." This is a huge moment. And it is a moment that so often we are missing. Missing today. For within our culture today, there is this sense that one has to be a success. And to be a success, it involves money. It involves power. It involves a certain kind of independence. We talk about a self-made man, an independent woman. What happens is, sometimes we are so busy trying to fulfill all of these ambitions that a person cannot tell their story. A person cannot acknowledge their pain. They cannot talk about their fears. A person cannot say, "I'm hurting." What is at stake here? What is at stake with Jesus standing before the paralyzed man? Is that the man could have gotten up and walked, but he still would not have been made whole. And so he needed to know that his sins are forgiven. Jesus has in this place confirmed that yes, he has the power to heal both the body and the soul. So he tells the man to confirm his power over the body. He tells the man, "Take up your bed and walk." But this healing of both body and soul. Throughout the course of my ministry, I have been blessed in so many ways to be involved in these kinds of situations. And one always struggled around the healing of the body. You come to the place where you always remind the person that God is present and active always within your life. And we trust that our doctors and our nurses and our medicine are a part of acting out this plan of healing for our life. But then that point comes where the body is never healed. What do you do at that point? How do you begin to still talk about wholeness? I thought of a dear lady, and she was really in so many ways my first pastoral kind of call and visit. I was on my internship in Ogden, Utah. And the times when I would go and see her, very dear person, and she would always recall for me history. She had traveled all over the world. She and her husband was in the service, so they had traveled all over the world. She encountered many kinds of different people, many kinds of different experiences. She assured me that I was not the first intern who had been to see her. All kinds of things that were such a blessing. One day I just prayed, knowing of her cancer and knowing that she would die. I prayed at that moment for her healing. And when I finished praying, she said, "Aaron, I want to thank you for that prayer. But don't worry about me. Don't worry about me, for I will be all right. I am at peace now. And my death will only be the final stage of what will be at peace and at rest. The family asked if I would speak at her service. I had to fight back tears, even as I'm having to now. I had to fight back tears as I told about her. And I can remember saying her words, that I am at peace, and in my death it'll only be the last part of being at peace. I shared those words, and at the end of the service, her daughter came to me and said, "Aaron, those words of my mother are the only thing that keeps me from breaking down right now." There is something about a whole life. Something about a whole life that we need to always, always take hold of day by day within our life. What is involved here? First of all, I really believe it is in knowing God's will and purpose for your life. Every time we say the Lord's Prayer, let it all sink in. But when we say it, take note of those words, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." We can have a whole life when we're not keeping so much inside of us. We can have a whole life as we learn to let go. What is that word? Let go and let God. We can have a whole life as we know that we are forgiven. And then think about Jesus standing at the crossroads of his own life, wondering in which direction he should take, wondering about the cross. Wondering, what should I do? There in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. He prayed this prayer, "Not my will, but thy will be done." When we come to this place, there is a place of wholeness. And yes, when we come to this place, you can't help but help someone else. John Maxwell wrote these words, "All the certificates of recognition we receive in life will fade. The monuments we build will crumble. The trophies will corrode. But what we do for others will make a lasting impact on the world." In summary, we're talking about healing. We're talking about the faith that is needed as a part of that healing. Healing for the body. Healing for the soul. And yes, healing for the question, why? 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 Amen.